Good morning, McDermott Road. I missed you last week. I didn't get to tell you. So this morning, I want to tell you double that I love you and I appreciate you. I'm so incredibly thankful for this church family. Thank you for being who you are and loving each other the way that you do and loving the Lord the way that you do. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced what we might call like a spiritual high? You know, kind of one of those moments where you're sort of on fire, you're just really excited about the Lord, and you really want to make some changes, maybe changes in your own personal life, maybe changes in your family life, or changes in the church, or changes societally, but you're just excited about who the Lord is and what the Lord is doing in your life. Maybe it was after you were baptized, and you were sort of on one of those spiritual highs. Maybe it was when you started attending a new congregation. Maybe you read a book that really got you on fire. Maybe you listened to a podcast or you heard a sermon and you walked away and you were just really on fire. For me, it was always coming back from church camp. This last week, I was at the Red River Family Encampment. I always feel that way after I get back from Red River. Before that, I was at Blue Haven. When I was a teenager, I'd go to camp a lot. And when I'd come home, I'd be on fire. I'd be on one of those spiritual highs. And I want to make a bunch of changes in my life. But then, to be honest, within the next few days or weeks, sometimes maybe months, all of that excitement and fervor would just kind of fizzle out. You ever been there? Where you've been so excited to make some changes, but then all of that excitement sort of fizzles out. I think at some point, we all become disillusioned and we ask a question like, is this it? Is this it? Maybe in your excitement, you've marched for justice, or maybe you've joined a support group, or you went to counseling, or you worked really hard to fix some problem. And then after a while, maybe it was days or weeks or months, maybe even years, you just sort of looked around and you said, is this it? Is this what I work so hard for? Is this what we work so hard for? Why is it still so hard? Why is the problem still so big? I thought it'd be better by now. I thought it'd be fixed by now. I didn't know we would still be dealing with this. You ever felt that way? Looked around and said, is this it? Is this it? Are we no further along than this? If you've ever felt that way, then I want to really encourage you over the next few weeks. We're going to be in the books. We call them books, two books, but originally they were one book, Ezra and Nehemiah. This story is a bittersweet story, but it's one I think that will help people who are in this exact scenario, because this is where the people of God found themselves. So if you have your Bible, we're going to start in Ezra chapter 1. And if you're familiar with the story of the Jewish people, maybe you're not familiar with this story, that's okay. The Jewish people were taken off into Babylonian captivity because of their sin. God sent them off into exile. And then after 70 years, they were able to return. So about 70 years after they were first taken off into exile, here's what we read, Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Now, this is actually something that Cyrus did, not just for the Jewish people, but for lots of different groups of people, lots of different ethnic groups who had been taken into the empire. He allowed them to go back home. He allowed them to go back, and he tried to win their favor by honoring their gods. But our scriptures say that actually Yahweh, our God, the true God, the living God, was behind this. And it was exciting. It was wonderful. Everyone was filled. Can you imagine? After all this time, the exile looks like it's over. How exciting. Everybody's filled with hope and positivity. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Verse 2, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let each survivor in whatever place he sojourns be assisted by the men of his place with silver and gold, with goods and with beasts, besides freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Can you imagine? How exciting is this? After all this time, the exile is ending. It's almost like a second exodus. The people of God are getting to leave captivity, leave slavery, and go home and build the temple of God that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And not only are they getting to go home, but they're being given gifts to take with them, things that had been stolen from them in the exile. And now they get to go home. Now, again, this may seem like boring history to you, I don't know, but you've had moments like this, haven't you? Moments that are hopeful, and you're excited, and you're optimistic, and you're thinking, this is it. This is the moment I've been waiting for. Everything's going to change from this point on. Everything's going to be different now. All the things that I knew God had in store for me are finally coming true. And so, of course, they get home and they roll up their sleeves and they get busy building the temple of God as they were charged to do. Chapter 3 and verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. I mean, when you read this, like, you should feel the excitement in the text. You should feel their excitement, their enthusiasm, their hope, their knowledge that God is keeping his promises. This faithful God that we read about a little while ago in Lamentations, even when the temple was being destroyed and the city of God laid in ruins, they knew the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, as Scott read for us. And now we're seeing his faithful love. We're seeing his mercies that are new every morning. The foundation of the temple has been laid. Verse 12, but this is not a fairy tale. There is no, and they lived happily ever after. But many of the priests and the Levites and heads of fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, they wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid. Though many shouted aloud for joy, the young kids who hadn't seen the first one, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping, for the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. See, Ezra and Nehemiah, these two books, they're filled with these but moments, these however moments, these not so fast moments, these moments where there's so much excitement and enthusiasm and fire and passion, and everybody's on a spiritual high and excited about what God is doing. And then a moment that says, not so fast, not so fast. Reality strikes. These bittersweet moments of crying and weeping mixed with shouts of joy. And sometimes this is exactly why we fizzle out, isn't it? Because we're filled with so much excitement, but then life doesn't always live up to our expectations. That's exactly what they're asking as they see the foundation of the temple being laid. Is this it? Is this it? This tiny little house? This is our great temple? This is what we've been waiting for? This is nothing like the last one, the one that was destroyed. It's smaller than we expected. It's harder than we expected. There are more problems than we expected. Is this it? And again, even if this just seems like history to you, you've lived this, haven't you? You were so excited. You had so much enthusiasm, so much hope. You were on that spiritual high, and you rolled up your sleeves, and you got busy, and you went to work. But then after a short time, you thought, is this it? This is smaller than I expected it to be. It's not as impressive as I thought it would be. It's harder than I thought it would be. There are more problems than I thought we would have. I thought all of the struggle was over. I thought all of the hardship was over. I thought all of the difficulty was over. And then, of course, there were also the people in the land that they had to deal with. Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build and bribed counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even into the days of the reign of Darius, king of Persia, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. I know that's a lot of names, but that's a way of sort of compacting about 100 years of Persian history to say throughout the reign of all of these kings, the people of the land continued to discourage and wear down the people of Judah. They continued to work against them. The people of the land worked them down politically and emotionally and psychologically. It wasn't like this big military campaign against them. It's more like the things you deal with. Resistance and tension and conflict. And over time, it just sort of discourages you and drains you, doesn't it? And there's that resistance that you weren't expecting. You thought, as soon as this happens, as soon as I cross this threshold, as soon as I climb this mountain, as soon as I make this decision, as soon as I start going to this class, as soon as I start reading my Bible, as soon as I start whatever, then you thought the tension would be gone, the conflict would be gone, the difficulty would be gone, and it's still present. And over time, it just sort of wears you down. And as you might expect, verse 24, then the work of the house, the work on the house of God that is in Jerusalem, what's that next word? Stopped. They ran out of steam. They lost momentum. They surrendered. They got stuck. And maybe there's some of us, if we're honest, that's where we are right now. Stuck. Disillusioned. Discouraged. Maybe you are on a spiritual high right now. I hope that you are. That's an exciting time to be. But chances are, if you're like most of us, there will come a time in the not so distant future, and again, maybe you're there right now, where you are kind of disillusioned, where you're stuck. Where you look back on your past and you're like, I wasn't going to be here again. I wasn't going to do this. I was going to work hard. I was going to keep my sleeves rolled up. I was going to keep doing what I was supposed to be doing. But it just got harder than I expected it to be. And I'm discouraged. And I don't know where to go from here. And I'm looking around and I'm saying, is this it? Why isn't it better by now? Why isn't it fixed by now? Why am I not better by now? Is this it? And so for about 16 years, the people of Judah did nothing to build the temple back to what it was supposed to be. They got busy doing other things until God sent a couple of different prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. Here's what we read in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? I love what Derek prayed earlier for us, that sometimes when things are difficult and we get discouraged, we also get distracted by shiny things, don't we? When something is hard, you're going to read your Bible every single day. And it was harder than you expected it to be. You're going to pray every single day, and it was more difficult than you expected it to be. But there are other things in your life that you've busied yourself with, that I've busied myself with, because when we get discouraged, we also get distracted. And these people that were supposed to be, and they were excited to be building the house of God, the king of Persia sent them back home to rebuild the temple. And they got busy building their own paneled houses. They got comfortable. They got discouraged until God stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor, Joshua, the high priest, and the remnant of the people of God. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible that God is trying to stir up your spirit right now to remind you of who you're supposed to be? The commitments that you made when you were on that spiritual high, when you were so excited, when you were so determined, when you were so passionate and enthusiastic, maybe God is trying to stir up your spirit right now to remind you, don't give up. Don't get distracted. Keep going. Persevere. So, of course, God stirred up their spirit, and they did. They rebuilt the temple of God. And when they rebuilt the temple, they celebrated by keeping the Passover. This is from Ezra chapter 6, verse 19. On the 14th day of the first month, the returned exiles kept the Passover. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves together. All of them were clean. So they slaughtered the Passover lamb for all of the returned exiles, for their fellow priests, and for themselves. It was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and also by everyone who had joined them and separated himself from the uncleanness of the peoples of the land to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. And they kept the feasts of the unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them, so that he aided them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. So we might read this and think, well, this is it. This is the happy ending we've been waiting for. They finally had their spirits stirred up, and they rebuilt the temple of God, and they celebrated with the Passover. But again, this is not a fairy tale. And this is not the end of the story. There is no happily ever after. And maybe our tendency to always be looking for a happily ever after is part of the problem. Maybe our tendency to always be looking for a conclusion to the story is part of the problem. Don't we always want this to be the whatever that ends all whatevers? I mean, I kind of want that with every sermon I preach. Like, this sermon will be the last time I ever have to preach on this topic. I mean, I'm going to preach this sermon and everybody's going to know what they need to do, and we're just going to go on from here. But that's never the way it is it? This is never the sermon to end all sermons. And sometimes you want that in your life too, don't you? You want to have a conversation with somebody, and this is going to be the conversation to end all conversations, and it's all going to be fixed. After I talk to them about this, I'm going to sit my kid down, and I'm going to have this heart-to-heart conversation with my son or my daughter. I'm going to talk to my wife or to my husband, and once we have this conversation, we'll never have to talk about this ever again. It's all going to be fixed. We're always looking for that conclusion, aren't we? To fix everything, to make everything okay. And again, that's one reason we get so discouraged, isn't it? So disillusioned because of our unmet expectations. We expected this, that this was going to fix all of our problems. We expected this to be the ultimate solution. But here we are, continuing to struggle. Sometimes we really do think that we can be saved by works, that our works, even our good works, the works we're supposed to be doing, are going to be our ultimate salvation, and they never are. God knew, even after the temple was rebuilt, God knew you're going to get discouraged again. You're going to get disillusioned again, and you're going to get stuck again. And so God sent another word to Haggai, the prophet. Here's what he said, chapter 2 and verse 2 of Haggai. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory before it was destroyed? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Now that the temple is finished, Don't you look at it and say, is this it? Is this it? It's so small. It's so insignificant. But God is saying, but don't let that discourage you. Because you can't see the big picture. In fact, when we're asking that question, is this it? God is quietly saying, no, this is not it. Because you can't see the big picture, but he can. And in your life, as you look around and you say, is this it? Is this what I've been working for? Is this all that it's accomplished? God is saying, no, this isn't it. There's so much more that you can't see. You can't see the whole story. Verse 4, yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, work, for I am, what church? With you. Work, because I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. Isn't that what we've been saying all year this year? Our theme has been fearless and faithful. That's what God has always called his people to be. When they came out of Egypt, when they went into the promised land, God told them, be fearless, be faithful. Now God is calling us to be fearless and faithful. He called them to be fearless and faithful. Be strong, be courageous, work, keep moving forward. Don't get discouraged. You're not finished yet. I'm still with you. My spirit is with you. God never leaves his people on their own. And whatever God tells us to do, he equips us to do it. Amen. Sometimes we get discouraged and we think, I can't do this anymore. But God always reminds his people, my spirit is with you. And I wouldn't call you to do something that you were incapable of doing with my help. Whatever it is that I've called you to do, I've equipped you to do it. So work, be strong, be courageous, don't fear. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. In other words, I still have more to do. The story isn't over yet. We get so discouraged, don't we? And we say, is this it? And God says, no, this isn't it. I have more to do. The story's not even close to being over yet. This house that they built for generations, for centuries, for hundreds of years, countless people would gather there to worship God, to offer sacrifices. It would be a place of worship for generations, for centuries. The word of God would be proclaimed in that house. But more than that, that temple that they were building, someday the Messiah would enter into that place. The Son of God, God in the flesh, would enter into that place. And God says, the latter days of this temple are going to be even greater than the former days. You look at this house and you say, is this it? Is this all that our work has accomplished? And God said, you haven't seen anything yet. Just wait. The story's not over yet. But see, that would be another 500 years in the future. It wouldn't be something that they would live to see personally, or even the next generation or the next generation. But Jesus was coming. Jesus is the conclusion of the story, isn't he? Jesus is the conclusion of the story. He's the one for whom they were waiting. It wasn't just for the rebuilding of the temple or even coming back from exile. It's the Messiah. He's the conclusion of the story. He's the one that's going to fix everything. And so there's a sense in which the story has been concluded, but there's also a sense in which even you and I, we're still waiting, aren't we? And we've been waiting for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of years. We've been waiting, but Jesus is the conclusion of the story. So here's the point. Stop trying to be the conclusion and be a faithful continuation. That's our job. Our job is not to be the conclusion. Our job is to be a faithful continuation. We're always trying to be the conclusion, aren't we? We're always trying to be the ultimate, the last, the final. But Jesus is the conclusion. Jesus was the conclusion 2,000 years ago when he showed up. He is the conclusion, and he will always be the conclusion of the story. Whatever it is, whatever moment that you're thinking, this is it, this is the one, this is what I've been waiting for, this is my spiritual high, this is the mountaintop, it's probably not the conclusion. But it can be a faithful continuation. Keep working. And it's far more right to realize that we aren't saved by our works. But we are waiting for salvation. But that doesn't mean that our works are unnecessary. Our works are incredibly important. Because when we're asking God, is this it? Is this all that my work has accomplished? God is saying, no, you haven't even seen the beginning of it. Because God is using those simple, everyday, mundane works that you're doing, that daily Bible reading that you get discouraged on and you keep falling away from, but then you come back to it. God is using that daily Bible reading, even as inconsistent as we are, to do great things in you and with you. Maybe it's a conversation. Maybe it's a conversation that you know that you need to have with somebody. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's another church member. And you might be tempted to think, well, after I have this conversation, everything's going to be fixed. Maybe, but probably not. It's not going to be the conclusion, but it can be a faithful continuation. Maybe it's forgiveness that you need to extend to someone. Maybe it's a lesson that you need to learn or a lesson that you need to teach. Maybe it's money that needs to be contributed. Maybe it's volunteering that needs to be done. All of it can be a faithful continuation. And God is able to take your faithfulness, even though you look at it and you think, is this it? God says, you can't see the big picture, but I can. And I can take that faithful continuation and use it to do great things. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're ready to be baptized into Christ. Baptism, sometimes we think of it as the end of our story, but it's not. It's really only the beginning or a continuation of what God has been doing in you. And maybe you're ready to put Jesus on. It doesn't mean that when you come up out of that water, everything's going to be easy and everything's going to be fixed. I can almost guarantee you it won't be the case. And there'll be days where you're encouraged and excited and enthusiastic, and there'll be days where you're disillusioned and discouraged. Remember that God is always with you. His Spirit is with you, and the work he's calling you to do, he equips you to do it. And maybe you made that promise to God a long time ago. Maybe you were baptized into Christ a long time ago, and you received from him the forgiveness of your sins. But somewhere along the lines, you got discouraged. Things got difficult. You got disillusioned, and you got distracted by other things. And maybe God is stirring up your spirit this morning, reminding you of the promises that you've made and who it is that you're supposed to be, and reminding you that he can take your faithful continuation of the story and do even bigger and better things than you can possibly imagine. Or maybe you're feeling exactly like the Jewish people were feeling that day, and you are surrounded by people, it seems, that are happy and joyful and singing, but your heart is filled with sorrow and your eyes are filled with tears. And you need your brothers and sisters in Christ to surround you with love and prayer and care. We are here for each other. Regardless of what we're going through, regardless of how we're feeling, we are here for each other and with each other and to remind each other that the Lord is always in our midst. If we can help you this morning, now's a great opportunity as we stand.